course, as was mentioned, a very large country. Oftentimes, when you think of an African country, you don't think of one that's in the top 10 or the top 7 in the world as far as population. But 200 million people, and it's growing pretty fast from what I hear. In the next few years, if it continues to grow like it is, it'll overtake the next couple on the list probably, and even move up. But from what I can gather from the there are four other missionaries, gospel preaching missionaries in the country that I'm aware of, and the one we're going to work with. So from what I can gather from them, there are about 140 gospel preaching churches in the country. Most of those pastored by national pastors, which I'm so thankful for each and every one of those churches that are getting the gospel to Nigerians. And there's been a Baptist influence in Nigeria for over 100 years. If you talk with Brother Holmes, he would tell you he's piggybacking on others' work, which I'm so thankful for that. That can't be said about every African country and a lot of other countries. But if you have one church for every 100,000 people, which obviously you need more than one church for 100,000 people, you need 2,000 churches in the country just to reach everyone. That just shows the need for churches. I dare say there's probably more good gospel preaching churches in Indiana than there are in the country of Nigeria. So we're excited about going, excited about working with Brother Holmes. It's a long story. We're planning, since I was a freshman in Bible college, going to a different African country. And God kind of shut that door, and we're going here now. But we can't wait to get there. We haven't actually been to Nigeria. I've personally been to Ghana, West Africa, which is two countries over from Nigeria, when I was in Bible college on a missions trip. But my wife and I took a trip to Rwanda. That's where we were going to serve last year, January into February. We were there for a few weeks. So we've both been on the continent of Africa. We just haven't been to Nigeria yet. If you'd pray with us, we'd like to go in September for about 3 weeks. What we're waiting on right now is, of course, the baby was recently born, and I was just able to apply for his passport, and we expedited that, and we need that so we can start applying for visas. So, Lord willing, we'll be able to get all that done and go in September. Before you can get the visas, you have to have the plane tickets. So we've already bought plane tickets, so we're praying that God will work that out. So we're excited about that. Excited to go work with Brother Holmes. He's been there about 14 years. I think it's closer to 15 at this point. He has 6 kids now, and we're excited to go work with him and learn, as was mentioned, from somebody who's doing what we'd like to be doing. If I wanted to be a mechanic, I'd probably go to try to work with a mechanic. And if I want to be a doctor, I probably wouldn't go work with a mechanic. And so we would like to plant churches, so we're going to go with somebody who's actively doing that. Every time I watch that video, I wish I could just jump on a plane and go to Nigeria. We're also enjoying our time on deputation. We started it in January of this year, the first week of January. We graduated Bible college and got married in 2017. We moved to Muncie, Indiana, which is not too far from here. Our sending church is Temple Baptist Church in Muncie, where my brother actually pastors. So we moved there. We got involved with the ministry there. We both got jobs. I drove a flatbed truck for ABC Supply. I know there are about 4 or 5 branches in Indianapolis. You might be familiar with them. So I delivered exterior building products, and my wife works at Chick-fil-A. Praise the Lord, we might start a Chick-fil-A in Nigeria. We're praying about that. But I think that's why God gave her that job. But a couple days before Christmas, this last Christmas, I quit my job, and which my boss had known the whole time that I was only going to work to that time. That was the plan all along. And we went up to Wisconsin to my wife's family for Christmas, and then we came back in the first Sunday in January. We started full-time deputation, and we've been moving ever since. We presented the ministry in 7 states. We've been in North Carolina and Alabama, and then Iowa and Wisconsin and Michigan, Ohio, Indiana. So we've done that, and God provided us at the beginning of deputation with a brand new vehicle. We drove it off the lot. It was a 2019 Mitsubishi Outlander, and we drove it off the lot with 13 miles on it. It has a few more than 13 right now, but I didn't pay a penny for it because my wife stole it. So no, she didn't steal it. Somebody gave that vehicle to us for deputation, and I try not to let her drive it much because I want to keep it all of deputation, but she hasn't been traveling with me, so I haven't been able to put my foot in my mouth as often as I normally do. Of course, she had the baby, so last week we were up in Marion, but this is her second week of actually being gone all day. She does all the hard work. I just get up here and blab most of the time, so she does a lot of the hard work. I'm so thankful for her and our little baby Ezekiel. And so if you have any questions about the ministry, I'd love to talk with you. Our prayer cards have information. I check my emails all the time. So if there's ever any questions or anything you'd like to know or anything like that, just get a hold of me, a phone number or whatever. And if there's anything I can ever do for you, just let me know that. But if you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, I was talking with Pastor at lunch and went to McAllister's. I thought it was my first time there, but my wife corrected me, as she often does, that it was my second time there. The first time was on a date with her, which, of course, I remembered that, so I figured I'm on a slippery slope, so I just keep sliding. But so we are so thankful for that, thankful to fellowship, and I mentioned to your pastor the music. You have a lot of talent. It's been amazing. I'm a great singer, but I do my best in the congregation singing when nobody can hear me. So that's my place in worship. So I've been so thankful for the music. And most of the singers actually look like you're happy and believe what you're singing. And so that's very refreshing. I'm so thankful for the church here. And I believe 34 years, Pastor had said, a lighthouse, a literal lighthouse in the community for 34 years. And so thankful for that. Pastors with longevity especially are my heroes. My dad will be celebrating 30 years at his church in October. He pastors in a town a little smaller in Indianapolis. It's got about 500 people. There's one blinking yellow light. There's Dewey's Trading Post. There's a barber shop, a bar, and a post office. And that's pretty much it. Some baseball fields and different things. So that's where I grew up. When I went to Bible college, I went up Northwest Indiana. I was by Chicago, and I didn't know what a one-way street was till I went on a bus route in Chicago. So I think God was preparing me, teaching me culture shock there. So when I go to the mission field, I'm pretty sure. But so I was saved at a young age, and I was telling Pastor, ever since I was 4 years old, my mom would read us stories of missionaries, men like David Livingston and Adoniram Judson and men like that. And I remember hearing about David Livingston in Africa, and how he got attacked by the lion and got his shoulder all messed up, and he killed the lion. So I surrendered to go lion hunting in Africa when I got bigger at that point. And so I may have wanted to go to Africa for the wrong reason then, but it's the joy and thrill of my life that God would allow someone such as me. You all don't know me very well, but I know me very well, and there's no reason that God should allow me to serve him. And we're excited about what he will, what he'll do with us. But my wife grew up in Wisconsin, which I've been a Green Bay Packer fan my whole life. My video, my USB was actually attached to a Green Bay Packer lanyard, and Mr. Soundman almost didn't play it for me because he was offended. So I've been a Packer fan, because I grew up in Michigan, so the only alternative was the Lions, and that's not a good alternative, so. And God allowed me to marry a girl from Wisconsin. And so she grew up in a Christian home. Her parents were in the military. And then her dad was a state trooper for over 20 years. And now teaches at the police academy in Wisconsin. But thankful for them. But if you'd stand for the reading of God's word, we'll read three verses here. Very familiar. What we call the Great Commission. And then if you keep your Bibles open, we'll be going through some different scriptures. But in Matthew 28, verse 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always." Let's bow for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you. I know quite a few of the songs sung tonight were about salvation, Father, and I thank you for saving someone such as I, Father, and for offering that salvation to every person who will have it, Father. And we ask that you'd work tonight. I know you've already been working through the music and the offering and different things, Father, but I ask that you'd use me in any way that you see fit. And most of all, I ask that you'd move me completely out of the way and just say through me what you'd have said. And Father, I ask that hearts would be prepared. I know you'd like to speak to every person in this room, Father, but help us to take down the walls that would block you from speaking to us. And if there's somebody who's not 100% sure that they're on their way to heaven tonight, I ask that they wouldn't leave this building before they've got that settled, Father. It's in your Son Jesus' name that I pray tonight. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to preach. Every time I get up to preach, which has been more often the last 6 months than before, that's for sure. I get nervous and the butterflies are flying. Hopefully they start flying in formation here soon, but we'll see. This portion of Scripture is what we call today the Great Commission. And by the way, it is a Great Commission. And it's the commission of our Heavenly Father. And we as Christians, we as saved individuals, we've been bought with a price, and we've also been commissioned. And we all love God's promises. I love the promises of God and doing studies on some of the promises that God gives us, that he'll never leave us and that he takes care of us and that he goes with us and some of those things. But so we love those things, but sometimes the commands that God gives us, we shy away from those a little more. And this is definitely a command. It's been said it's a command to be obeyed, not an idea to be considered. The Great Commission is for everyone, not just missionaries, not just pastors, not just full-time Christian workers. I think we all ought to be full-time, but it's for everybody. This portion of Scripture, this is the time after Jesus had risen from the dead, shortly before he ascends into heaven. And the disciples that he's talking with, they'd spent around 3 years with Jesus, and it wouldn't have been something. It's amazing the relationship we can have with Jesus Christ today, but wouldn't it have been something to be with Jesus and listen to him preach. And I've had the opportunity to hear some amazing preachers and at youth conferences and preachers meetings and some that my dad had in and some different things like that. And I've had the opportunity, but can you imagine hearing Jesus Christ himself preach? And he provided food at some of his sermons too, so I would have loved to have been there. But this command that he gives them here is exactly what Jesus had been training these men to do. And of course, he told them how to do it, but you read about Jesus, and he showed them how to do it. And I like history, and I like, especially one of the things I like to do is find great men. And whether in all areas of life, great men, of course, in the Bible, but athletically, sports. I love sports and great military heroes and great generals and some of those men like that. And I like to find them and even businessmen and read about them and figure out what makes them great. And of course, when you find great men, there's always preparation before they became great, and that's one of the things you find. But when you study Jesus Christ and see what made him great, of course, he was the Son of God, and we'll get into that. But some of the things that Jesus did are incredible. But he's shown them throughout his time with them how to do the command that he would give them. And he showed it by his example. And tonight, the Great Commission, I know it's your missions emphasis month, and faith promise has been a part of my life ever since I can remember. I believe it was when I was 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there, my parents had me start giving to faith promise. My dad, his church, we did it monthly, gave every month, and I think that I first committed I think it was a nickel every month, and that's what I gave for Faith Promise. And to be honest, I don't know what that nickel did for our missionaries, but I know what that nickel did for this young man and taught me at an early age. Man, I thought, once I found, and I didn't understand it back then, but I don't know when I exactly started to, but when I understood that I could have fruit and be a missionary somewhere without leaving the States just by giving money, I thought, wow, that's awesome. I want to get a part of that. And so thankful for Faith Promise giving, and I think we see it in the Bible, and my wife and I love giving to missions, and I know that the gospel needs to get to the whole world, and that's my command. And as a missionary, of course, I'm going, so to speak, but I also realize that the mission field is here in Indiana. In Indiana, you just drive through Indianapolis, and you'll see a mission field, that's for sure. You can go wherever, you don't need a world map to see the Great Commission. You need only to look outside of your window. And I know that, and I'm so thankful for one of the things we love about Deputation is getting to meet choice servants of Christ who are fulfilling the Great Commission right where you're at. Some of the people who've had the greatest impact on my life were not pastors and full-time Christian servants. They were lay people. who worked all week hard at their jobs and were just faithful. Sunday school teachers. I was led to Christ by a junior church teacher and impacted at Vacation Bible School. So I just encourage you, stick with it. Serving God, and teenagers especially, serving God is the best thing you can ever do. I'm only 24 years old, and my wife still thinks I'm a teenager because I act like one all the time. But serving God is the best thing you can ever do, and he'll take care of you for it. If you'll turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, the Great Commission, obviously, is an amazing responsibility that God has given us. And it's something to be taken, not to be taken lightly. But tonight, Hebrews 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." And tonight, I'd like to take some time to consider Jesus Christ and the Great Commission. I love preaching about it. But tonight, I'd like to talk a little about the one who gave the Great Commission. So I'd like to take some time to consider Jesus Christ. If you'll turn to John chapter 10, 29 and 30. I'll give you a second to get there. I was always taught growing up, make sure you have your Bible open and follow the preacher. Keep him accountable and make sure. And the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 29, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Consider, first off, let's take a moment to consider who he was, he being Jesus Christ, who he was. And, of course, we could preach for hours and hours, and Pastor said, as long as I get done by 10 o'clock, I'm okay. So I'm joking. I don't have that much to say. My wife didn't write enough down for me. So, but consider who he was. Consider Jesus Christ, and we know that he was God. "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." It isn't amazing. Jesus Christ was God himself, and we know he was I've heard it said out soul winning, that Jesus was a good man, and some have told me he was a great man and an amazing man, which he was all of those things. But Jesus Christ was more than just a good man. He was more than just an exceptional man. I believe I've had the opportunity to meet some exceptional people who just have some qualities about them that make them exceptional. But Jesus Christ was far more than any of that. He was not just a good man. He was perfect and holy in every way. And we don't have something physically that we can compare that to. At least I haven't found yet. That's something that's pure and holy in every way. And I remember growing up, I used to think that 100% juice was actually 100% juice. And that wasn't right. They had sugar and stuff in that. And you used to think that was perfect and holy, but it's not. And but Jesus Christ was perfect and holy in every single way. And Jesus was God. And we see that Jesus left a perfect heaven. I still can't figure out why. I know, and I've heard, and I've been preached to my whole life. But Jesus loved us so much that he left a perfect heaven to come here. I don't know if you've looked around recently, but it's not very much like what I see heaven to be. And over 2,000 years ago, he left all that and came for me. And as I mentioned before, I still can't figure out why he came for me. I know he loved me, but he left all that. He came to a wicked, sinful earth. And we know that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Jesus was the perfect example of everything that was right, that is right. And he was the perfect example of it. I've got some great examples in my life, but I haven't found a perfect one. It's Father's Day, and I actually get to celebrate it this year, which is pretty cool. But my dad's my hero. There aren't many days that go by that I don't call him with some piece of advice. And he used to drive me crazy because growing up, I tried to get Bible answers from him for like my Sunday school lesson filling out and stuff. But he always, I'd go to him, and he'd say, "Go look it up for yourself." And I was like, "Dad, you're my cheat sheet." But he didn't do that all the time. But definitely my hero. And that I'm super proud of. But I have some great examples in my life, but no perfect example to follow except for Jesus Christ. Jesus was, of course, we know, the only acceptable sacrifice for our sins. And we know there's nothing we could do. And it was an amazing day for me on February 3rd of 2006. I had made a profession of faith when I was 4 years old, but a couple years leading up to that, I knew I wasn't saved. And I thought I'd embarrass my dad. He was a pastor. What would he think of me if I told him I actually wasn't saved? And I remember being scared. And, of course, now I look back and realize how silly how silly that was, but on February 3rd of 2006 at a revival meeting, the preacher preached about hell and how that rich man just wanted one drop of water, and I was sitting in the front row about right there at my dad's church and just shaking through the whole service, and he was a long preacher. He was one of those where if you sat in the first five rows, you better have an umbrella because you're going to get spit on, and one of those type preachers. And I remember at the invitation going down to the altar, and I was just crying and bawling, and my junior church teacher came over, and he took me back to the nursery, and I got saved by a baby changing station. I don't know why he took me there, but I could take you to the place. The nursery has since been remodeled, but I could take you to the place where I got saved and where I realized that this pastor's kid, who hadn't really, I don't think at that point, ever said a cuss word or drank alcohol or done something like that, but realized that the first sin that I ever committed was bad enough to send me to hell, and it was a great day in my life, of course. Billy Sunday said, there are 256 names given in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I suppose this was because he was infinitely beyond all that one name could express. If you get a chance sometime, do a study of the names of God, and it's pretty interesting and pretty amazing, the God, Jesus, and the different names, and this God that we get to serve, it's pretty incredible. So first off, consider who he was, and secondly, consider what he did. In John 4:34, I'll read a verse there and then jump over to John 17:4, but if you'd like to turn there, in John 4, verse 34, the Bible says, John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Of course, this was in near the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry here. Jesus' whole purpose on earth was, of course, to save us, and we know that, but was to please his Father, to do the will of his Father. And in John 17:4, you can flip over there if you'd like. But this was near the end. This is Jesus, a few of his, shortly before he goes to the cross. And the whole chapter is a prayer that he prays to God. And it's an amazing prayer that Jesus talks to his heavenly Father about. But in John 17:4, he says, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So at the beginning, his meat was to do the will of his Father. And at the end, he had done the will of his Father. And sometimes I wonder how we as Christians can live our lives and shoot for any other goal than to do the will of our Father. If Jesus Christ's whole purpose on earth was to do what God had sent him to do, and we know that Jesus is a perfect example, and he's, of course we know we ought to follow what Jesus Christ did. That's why we are Christians. We are supposed to be Christ-like. How can we live for any other purpose than to do the will of our Father? And we see that Jesus finished that work. And of course, I was so thankful for the finished work of Jesus Christ, but he came to do the will of the Father. Of course, we see all the healings and the miracles and the sermons, and I mentioned that, I believe it's near the end of John, he mentions how all the works that Jesus did, if you put them in books, the world couldn't contain the sum of them. And that's an incredible thought. We see many miracles that Jesus Christ did, and we can read about them and read over them, and the blind that were made to see, and the people that were allowed to speak, and the devils that were cast out, and even the dead that were raised. And we see all those things, and we see these things, and those were only a very small portion of what Jesus Christ did on earth. He came to do the will of the Father. He allowed himself to be tempted. Jesus Christ knew what it was to thirst and to hunger. He knew what it was like to be forsaken and betrayed. Jesus Christ knew these things. So first off, consider who he was. Consider what he did. And let's consider why he came. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we know that that was what God, his heavenly Father, sent Jesus Christ to do, to seek and to save. That was part of doing the will of his Father. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to be that sacrifice. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ came to be that sacrifice. 1 John 2:1-2, you don't have to go there, but the Bible says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Of course, an advocate is someone who pleads on one's behalf. And I'm so thankful for Jesus Christ that pleads on my behalf, and that advocate and the propitiation, the appeasing that Jesus Christ did for me. Of course, we know that for the wages of sin is death. And the wages and the things that I did and that I deserve and that I earn needed to be appeased. And when I'm out soul winning, I try to let folks know that there's no way you can appease your own sins. There's no way, even if you stop sinning today, that you can pay for all the sins that you've already done. You could stop sinning today and live for 50 years and never do another thing wrong. And you can never pay for what you've already done. And working at ABC, my manager there, he was, I witnessed to him multiple times, but he could never get past the fact that he wasn't a murderer, he wasn't a rapist, he hadn't done what he had thought were terrible things, bad enough to send someone to hell. And he could never get over that fact. And I pray for him, and I'm hoping to get a chance to witness to him again. But he never understood the fact that his sins are bad enough to send him to a devil's hell. And he needs that advocate. And he needed that propitiation. Of course, he came to seek and to save. He came to be the sacrifice. He came because he loved us. This Jesus Christ, consider why he came. Bob Pierce said, "Let my heart be broken with a thing that break God's heart." Wouldn't it be something in our Christian lives if what really got us upset and what really got us going were the things that got Jesus? And what really broke our hearts were the things that broke Jesus' heart. I know we go through our weeks and different things break our hearts, and they cause us to think and to maybe shed tears over to this and that, and those aren't necessarily bad things all the time. Sometimes you see a post on Facebook and you want to cry or something, and you're broken. We've all been broken before over someone or something or some situation in our lives, and I'm not diminishing or belittling those things. But what if we came to a place where the things that broke our hearts were the things that broke Jesus Christ's heart, that ultimately really sent him to the cross and that he gave himself for us? And one of those things, of course, is lost souls. Is lost souls. And I can't wait to get to Nigeria. I really can't. But I also know that I don't know when Jesus is coming back, and I don't know what tonight holds or tomorrow holds. So I can't wait to get to Nigeria before I do the will of my Father. And I've met so many people who one day they'll serve God, and one day they'll get it right, and one day they'll figure things out. And I don't know if that one day will come, but I know I have today. And I know I've got this week to do something great for the cause of Christ. And what the world would consider great and what Jesus Christ considers great are often two very different things. And I've got an opportunity today and at this very moment to do something that's worthwhile, not because of who I am, but because of who Jesus Christ is and the commission that he has commissioned us to do. And oftentimes we as Christians, we get so comfortable with where we're at. We get so comfortable about lost and dying souls. And we push it out of our heads, and we push it out of our minds. And Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. And sometimes in this area, I feel like I'm the chiefest of sinners. And there are times I just blot out that probably the person near me is lost and on their way to a devil's hell. And maybe that person who pulls up to me at a stoplight is lost and on their way to a devil's hell. And that ought to bother us. That ought to worry us a little bit. And it ought to worry us that maybe I'm not sure if my neighbor's saved, or maybe I'm not sure if this family member is saved. We see Jesus Christ came to do the will of his Father, and the will of his Father was to seek and to save. And I think we as Christians would do well to get a hold of that idea that we're here for a reason and a purpose. And I love to enjoy life. I love enjoying things. I love having a good time. And my mom and dad always taught me, if there's not a good time where you're going, take a good time with you. So I try to take a good time wherever I go, because I love life and I love enjoying it to the fullest. And I love doing things. I love working with my hands, and I love being able to be around people, and I love being able to, I love being with my family. I love being with friends, and I just was in a wedding yesterday of a roommate from college and got to reunite with some of the guys, and we didn't get into as much trouble that we did in college over the weekend, and I love doing that, and I love some of those things, and I hope you enjoy those things as well. But there's a lost and dying world. And there are folks who will perish and die. And the thing is, I love that song about being the light, and we heard Send the Light in these different songs, is we're not just commissioned and God just didn't tell us to go and try to figure it out. God commissioned us and he's given us everything that we need. He gave us the light. He just told us to carry it. He did it all. He paid the price. I don't have to walk up Calvary's Hill. That's already been done. I just have to walk across the street or walk with a track or do something for the cause of Christ. That's what we have to do. David Livingston said, if the commission of an earthly king is such a high honor, why is the commission of a heavenly king considered to be a sacrifice? And all of us would say that missionaries, and to a certain extent, I guess I agree, but that we sacrifice and we give up time with family and different things, and maybe some of those things are true. But if God tells me to go to Africa as a missionary and I say no, how much greater sacrifice is that? That I sacrifice peace with my Heavenly Father and sacrifice being in the center of God's will. Don't underestimate what it's like to be in the exact center of God's will and to be doing exactly what God wants you to do. Because I think most of us could say we've been on both sides of that coin, and we've been on both sides. And I've seen the misery and the lack of enjoyment of life of those who they're trying to have all the pleasure in the world, but they're not exactly where God wants them to be. So I challenge you tonight, think about sacrifice and what is sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice some comforts to not have to sacrifice some other things that will give you that peace that you know you need? We've taken some time to consider the one who gave us the command. Now, of course, we need to consider this command. We know that it is every saved person's job to reach the world. We can argue it. We can try to get around it. We can reason it away. We can figure out excuses. We can make ourselves too busy to do it. We can do all those things, but it still comes down to it that when you're saved and on your way to heaven, you need to be telling someone else how they can be saved and on their way to heaven. It is a command that should be taken literally. It's a go. It's a go, and go is to literally do just that, go. Now, I'm not proposing tonight that everyone ought to get up and go to a foreign mission field. That's not what I'm proposing, because that would be preposterous. Now, I would love it if tonight some young person or old person, God called and God maybe told you, you need to get out of your comfort zone and you need to go do something somewhere else. If God does that, I love that. I'd love for more missionaries in Africa, called the dark continent for so long. And I'm thankfully some light has been shed on the continent of Africa, but I hope more light continues to be shed there through missionaries. But whatever God has for you, if God has for you to do your job during the week and be a Sunday school teacher, you be the best Sunday school teacher you can be. And you be the, I love seeing the bus and the vans and shuttle buses and different things. And those were going somewhere. They were going to do something. And that's what we ought to be doing, is every Christian's duty to be carrying their cross. I believe Pastor read the verse this morning about denying yourself and taking up your cross. And of course, we know three of the ways that we can go are prayerfully, and of course, physically, and of course, financially. And God's given us different avenues, and we need to be doing all three. We need to be doing all three right where we're at. If you want to be like Jesus, you must have a heart for the whole world. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that if you want to be like Jesus and be a true Christian, you need a heart for the whole world. You have to have that. My challenge tonight is consider these things. Consider who he was, consider what he did, and consider why he came. I didn't say one thing that was new to any of you, I'm sure, tonight, but it's a message that so often we forget and we don't really think about like we ought to. I challenge you, just consider Jesus Christ, because I found that when you fall in love with the person of Jesus Christ, you can't help but do the work of Jesus Christ. I know there have been Sundays where I've gone through my whole day serving God, and maybe driving a bus and working on bus routes in Sunday schools. And I get to the end of the day and I realize that I've done God's work all day, but I didn't think once about my Heavenly Father. And I didn't think once about that person of Jesus Christ. I challenge you today, consider Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks so much for who you are. Thank you so much for every person in this room. And who knows what could be done for the cause of Christ if we got busy like we know we're commanded to be, Father. And I pray for this invitation time, and just work whatever you'd like to work, Father. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray tonight. Amen.